Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host Luke Gutferth and special guest Elliot Douglas.
Hey! What?
This week, we're talking about...
I signed deafness really badly. I spelled it out in DSL. For anyone that's listening, how'd I do?
I suppose as well, if anyone's listening, they can't exactly see you trying to.
No one deaf
right
is going to be listening to this,
yeah,
so it's fine.
Yeah. No, actually, no, that's so true. I don't really listen to podcasts at all.
I wonder why.
Except this one. This is the only podcast I will interact with.
Well, that's got Elliot's stamp of approval, but first, let's do a little Apple review. Ooh. This one says, these guys are genuinely so educational while still managing to be 10 times more hilarious. It's so enjoyable, easy listening, and lovely to learn from such passionate people.
That's
that
lovely.
Nice?
Thank Aww. You.
That's lovely. So shall we get into the topic of today?
Yes.
No, we won't, because we're doing a little question first. The question that I've got for everyone listening or watching. If you're watching or listening, get down to the YouTube comments and answer this question. Do you know any sign languages? BSL, ASL? Any other sign languages?
Do you?
I'm learning.
I was asking that because I was like, obviously you do, but okay.
No, I don't.
Not every deaf person signs, Luke.
No, I'm learning.
Well, you've learned one thing. Let's learn some more things. We're obviously talking about deafness today. Elliot, why are you joining us for this episode on deafness?
Because I am deaf.
No way, really?
What?
I thought you were just like a really bad listener. I thought that was
selective hearing.
No, okay, so we're talking about deafness today, but before we get into that, let's talk about how hearing works, right? Do either of you know how hearing works?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I have an idea. You know what they teach you at school, like with the cochlea, and you have these little singular hair cells, and they vibrate at certain frequencies and stuff.
You know a lot more than just a little bit. Yeah, you know how it works. Yeah. So let's just run through it, right? There are three different parts of your ear. You've got your outer ear, your middle ear, and your inner ear. Your outer ear is the pinna, and you know the bit that you can see, the fleshy bit on the outside, and that kind of tube that goes in. I'm not going to be super specific here, we're just going to blast through this to get to the good stuff, the meaty stuff. Right, so you've got your outer ear, the sort of like tube that goes in, and your pinna, the outside bit. You've got your middle ear, which is the sort of bones, your ear bones, and then you've got your inner ear, which is the cochlea and all the little hairs that transport the sound waves to your brain. So the way that hearing essentially works is hearing is a sense that we use to take sound, vibrations in the air or water, whatever medium you happen to be in at the time, and transform those into electrical signals that your brain can understand. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's essentially what hearing is. And the way that works is you've got the pinna, that's that outside bit of the ear that we were speaking about, the bit that you get pierced and all that. That basically is like a little sort of radio dish. It kind of collects in all the sound, it collects in those vibrations, and then those vibrations travel down that tube in the middle of your ear, you know, it travels down inside your ear, and then it hits the eardrum, which vibrates some bones. There's lots of vibrating going on, basically. It vibrates It vibrates some bones, which I guess sort of vibrates some fluid. You've got your cochlea, there's the hair cells that you were mentioning in there, and those hair cells vibrate, and they'll send little electrical signals to your brain. That's basically how it works, right? We got an understanding?
Yep.
Cool.
Pretty good.
Good. Great. Glad. So let's move on. What is deafness?
Again, like many things in life, it is a spectrum.
Jesus.
One would assume.
Look, you can't keep on saying this every single episode.
I literally said it in the episode we recorded just before this as well.
Oh,
it was about self-driving cars, which also exist on the spectrum.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
I feel like I'm not the best person to answer this.
Maybe like deafness is an absence of hearing.
Yeah, so yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Essentially, it's an absence of hearing, and it's a spectrum, and it comes in different forms, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got deafness. You could talk about hearing loss. Now, generally, when I've been researching this, people are talking about hearing loss, which is an interesting way of talking about it, I think, because they talk about sort of congenital hearing loss, which is hearing loss from birth.
Mm.
Which isn't quite loss if you never had it in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not that involved in the community, sort of, just because I kind of grew up quite isolated from it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have lots of deaf friends in my like immediate day-to-day life when I was at school and things like that. But what I was going to say is like within the deaf community, there seems to be this sort of, not policing, but around what language is used when it comes mm-hmm. to deaf people, you don't want to talk about having a hearing loss because have you actually lost something?
Yeah.
Which is exactly kind of as you said.
Yeah, no. This is what I find interesting when we talk about sort of the deaf community, because there is a whole community there that generally hearing people are just not really aware of at all. And interestingly, it can be quite an insular community, right? Mm. Have you found that personally?
Not personally, like with other deaf people that I've interacted with, like it's very like wholesome. But I mean, I watched Sound of Metal like maybe a year or two ago when it came out, and it was just this deaf community who only signed. There was no like vocal, like oral communication at all. And that was really interesting for me to watch as a deaf person, because I didn't realize that those sort of deaf communities existed, like of just no speaking, sign only. Like I kind of would like that, you know.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, it's, again, what I say, it's insular. That's not denigration. I understand why it makes sense, but it's something that I don't think a lot of people generally consider. And I said up top, I mean, we mentioned it in this episode that we did with Tom Scott a couple of weeks ago, but I said up top that, you know, I say a couple of weeks ago, this was last week, I said up top, sign languages, because there are multiple sign languages, obviously, and people don't think about that either, because people just kind of see deaf people as disabled, and that's it. They're just a bunch of disabled people off, you know, struggling to get through the world. But that's a really, really strange and not very helpful way to look at the deaf community.
I was going
to
say, like, I had someone recently ask, oh, do you understand the sign language that was in this clip for something? And I was like, well, that's American Sign Language, so I'm not going to. And a lot of people either seem to think that there's one universal sign language, which actually would be kind of useful in terms of if it could translate well between other languages, but I don't think it quite could because of grammar and all sorts of other things like that. But every language has its own sign language as well. So it's sign languages, yeah.
It's interesting because we were talking to Tom Scott about this last week. So if you go check out our episode on linguistics last week, you can find those conversations. But he mentioned that there are some sign languages that aren't connected at all to any spoken languages, which is really interesting because then they've got different grammar and whatnot. And
that's
so
really cool.
I think the way that you could have that universal sign language is just by having one that is disconnected from any spoken language.
Mm.
So yeah, back to sort of deafness. And again, we're going to talk about hearing loss. I'm saying that because that's what's in the papers. I don't really agree necessarily with that framing of it, but to be fair, there are some people that do experience hearing loss, and it's kind of all lumped in together, unfortunately. So the language isn't quite there. So you could talk about people that are hard of hearing, that had hearing loss, and deaf people. None of those three groups are necessarily all the same people, right? Like those are three different terms for three not entirely separate, but
and I
somewhat
think,
distinct groups.
I think it also depends on the individual,
yeah,
how they want to identify their deafness. And when I know that I have about a 70% loss, right? Mm-hmm. I say loss, again, it just feels weird to me now because I'm like, actually, to be fair, this is all I've ever known. I've just been deaf all throughout my life and always told that saying deaf was not a bad word, but like not to call it being deaf.
Deaf.
Yeah.
It's like deaf.
Yeah.
Deaf.
To not call it being deaf, and it was often called my hearing problem, and then my parents were like, but it's not really a problem though, is it? Because you get by just fine, like you're doing as well as you can.
I think that, you know, and I'm glad we've gotten to this conversation so soon. We'll get into the science in a bit, don't worry, we've got it there. It's coming. But what I find interesting is that the deaf community is one that is, you know, as far as, you know, the disabled community goes, the deaf community are a group of people that a lot of people in the deaf community don't want to be seen as disabled, and they reject the label disabled, which you really only see otherwise in, I guess, sort of the autistic community and you know, groups like that, because you can be almost entirely self-sufficient when you're deaf. It just takes people paying attention to the fact that you're deaf and taking that into account, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's all it takes.
I went to a workshop at Cannes this year with people who, some of whom identified as differently abled as opposed to disabled, and they weren't deaf or weren't necessarily deaf, and they weren't necessarily autistic. They were had different abilities, sometimes physical abilities, and they are identified as differently abled. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was worth bringing in there.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. My point is not just the term disabled or differently abled.
I get that as a deaf person, because in some sense it is a disability, right? However, I'm not like, I haven't, you know, there's nothing wrong. I have very good sight. You know, my my physical mobility is fine. It's just, I guess I'm, yeah, I can't hear so much. But like, it's weird because I feel like I do fit and I don't fit into this disabled, or what I suppose people think of when they hear the word disabled as well. You know, people hear the word disabled, or see the word disabled. Anyway.
not quite woke enough there, Elliot.
People see the word disabled and they will think of someone in a wheelchair, or think of just a disability that isn't necessarily deafness, and it's a spectrum.
I do think, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was the next point I was about to make, that I think the rejection of the disabled label has got less to do with actually being disabled, you know, in the sort of strictest sense of the word, and more with the social view of what disability is. And I guess as well, we can very briefly talk about the social model of disability, right? Wherein the classic example is, imagine that, you know, tomorrow you wake up and everybody's got sort of wings and everyone's able to fly, and they start, you know, removing stairs and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. So you can't fly, but you're perfectly able to get up to that building if they just have stairs there. And why are there not stairs? I can get there if you give me stairs. That's kind of an idea of the social model of disability, that disability comes not necessarily from, you know, within the person or within the disability
itself.
It's
a societal sort of, yeah, definitely. Like, the societal, like, accessibility,
yeah, absolutely,
to things. You know, for example, if I went to this, oh gosh, cinema, I think about this all the time when I go to like screenings and events. I just wish they would subtitle it. The amount of people who aren't deaf who use subtitles because they have auditory processing disorder, or because they just find it helps, because I'm not gonna lie, TV nowadays has so many sounds going on at once, it can be really difficult. And also the actor's lips might not always be visible on the screen when they're talking. I just think that subtitles should just be everywhere, or just used in cinema way, way, way more than they actually are.
I don't see a problem with it.
It makes it just makes it so accessible to people. And yeah, what you were saying about societal.
Just to touch on the subtitles part, I think it's interesting because Noah, the fifth Psy guy, uses subtitles constantly because he has ADHD and it helps him focus on what is being said. I can use subtitles and I sometimes like having subtitles on. Other times I get too focused on reading subtitles, or the subtitles are bad and they ruin jokes. And so I will, if I'm watching a comedy and I can have the subtitles off, generally I will turn them off because the subtitles are bad. Nothing to do with the subtitles themselves. But then I also have a friend who also probably has ADHD and cannot stand subtitles because that's all that they can focus on. Like, we've watched a film with them and they're like, I've seen them literally hold up a piece of paper to cover the bottom of the screen because Noah was like, I need subtitles or this is unintelligible to me.
Yes.
And this friend was like, well, I need to have this covered or I cannot watch it. And like, I get like having subtitles everywhere, that would probably be for the best. But it's so interesting how these different sort of, like, how different sort of accessibility needs can conflict with one another.
Yeah,
you know?
absolutely.
It feels like you could just have, again, I'm just going to say I went to Cannes again this year. It just feels like a flip.
Did you go to Cannes? Did you go to Cannes, the film festival?
It's a coincidence that this is two stories so far have come up. I went to Cannes this year below the cinema screens because we're in France and not everyone's speaking English because it's an international festival.
Oh, you went to an international film festival?
Oh, Cannes. Yeah. To Cannes, yeah.
Oh, cool.
They had like a little mini screen underneath, almost like a Nintendo DS. Underneath all the screens, there's a little mini screen that has the subtitles on.
Aww.
And that was great. But then you're right, like, it might be annoying if you, for example, are somebody who cannot pay attention to anything when the subtitles are there. That might be difficult in a different way. We could just have, like, you know, like little 3D glasses or something.
I was thinking, yeah.
That is a thing,
it's invisible,
isn't it?
If you don't have the glasses on.
Yeah, well, this is, I mean, there are so many ways that we can make things accessible.
What's that, can?
No, Luke.
I went to Cannes this year.
There are so many ways that we could make things accessible.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, no, I find it really, really interesting how all of this sort of works. And I think that the deaf community is one that is really almost the poster child for this, I'm rejecting the label disabled because I'm not disabled, you're the problem. And I understand that to, like, you know, to a great degree. Like, I really get it. Like, with ADHD, it's very much a thing of like, okay, look, there are issues that I deal with and there are issues that I'm going to deal with regardless of having ADHD or not. But also, you could make life easier for me.
Absolutely.
Look, I'm going to be 5-10 minutes late. Don't be on me for that, because I'm coming in and I'm doing more work than you anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, this deadline is a bit of an issue. If it can be moved by a day, let it move by a day, and don't have a go at me for it, because I have a disorder. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get rejecting the label disability, and I get pointing out where accessibility is, like, it could, where we making things accessible could make life easier. But also, I think that we need to really sit and think about how we feel about the label disabled, because, again, society has put all of these connotations on the label disabled. But if you just put your hands up and say, look, there are some things that, you know, because of the way my body works, the way my brain works, blah, 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 there are some things that I can't do that other people do, or certain needs that I have that other people maybe don't have. And, you know, if it crosses a certain threshold, then we call that disability. I don't think that's necessarily, like, a bad thing. And I think it would be really beneficial to sort of remove those negative connotations from disability. Because if it was just a neutral thing of, like, hey, I'm disabled in this way, that's perfectly fine. And I'm not saying that you know, that deaf people should want to call themselves disabled or whatnot. I totally understand it. I'm just saying, as a general sort of societal move, having less of a stigma towards disability, I think, would be a net positive for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I had so many things that I've, like, started thinking about as well. Like, if we're talking about, like, society and the way it views things, I was on the BBC, All That Glitters, jewellery making.
You were on the BBC?
Yeah, I was on the...
Oh my God, are we just dropping, like, fun things that we've done?
No, but I was going to say, like, as a deaf person, watching a hearing person put the ear cuffs that had been made for me on, watching someone who was hearing put those on and, like, just seeing how they'd sort of, like, accessorized their ear and made it look cool, I was like, oh, I wish everyone just could wear ear jewelry like that. And, like, it was just what you said about sort of, like, just having this net place that society is at
If you're not understanding what I'm meaning, or you're like, what are you talking about? Okay, let me just, if you're watching this, let me just very quickly illuminate exactly what I mean. I am disabled in that I cannot see without, like, I can't see, my hand is in focus. For everyone listening, I've just taken off my glasses because I don't have contacts in today. I can't see my hand in focus until it's here. For anyone listening, that's about 6 inches away from my face. I would literally be disabled if it were not for the fact that glasses are accessible and affordable and just easy to get. And people don't look down on people for wearing glasses, to the point where what you were saying there, where, you know, glasses are now jewelry. People will wear glasses when they don't need to wear glasses because they look cool.
Absolutely.
In the same sense that I feel like you're saying, oh, it'd be cool if people wore hearing aids, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, just like ear cuffs and, like, cool.
I think your hearing aids look really tight. Like, I would literally wear that, because I'm like, that's a cool, like, you've got like a red in your ear. That's like a cool way to accessorize, right?
I've started color coordinating with the red. Like, honestly, here's the thing. I came from a place of being so ashamed of my deafness. Right? When I was, you know, especially, okay, for anyone watching who doesn't know who I am, I'm also trans, and I used to have long hair and it would cover my hearing aids because I was too scared of people seeing them. But then, sort of with transitioning, I wanted to cut my hair short, and that was, like, the first time in my life that I was showing off my hearing aids. And then I sort of started to reach a point where I was like, I actually shouldn't feel ashamed of this anymore, and anything, if anything, want to show it off and make it visible. And especially what we've been saying about society and, like, how people perceive you, I kind of want to see, I want people to see that I'm deaf, because I need people to know that they need to be patient with me. And one of the things that you were saying about, you know, if you've got ADHD and you've got this deadline due, you're asking them for patience. You're just asking them for understanding. And, like, that's kind of how I want the public to be like. Most of the time they're fine when I tell them I'm deaf. And they're like, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't realise. But, like, I've not really had any major problems. I've had a couple, but...
Well, I would actually argue that I don't think people need to be patient with you. And this is, Elliot, this is coming from my interactions with you and other people in that I've seen situations, and I've tried to be more conscious of this myself since having conversations with you about this, but all you need most of the time is, if you're in a loud environment, is for people to look at you when they're talking.
Yes.
And it's not hard. It's not hard at all. But, like, I look around, when we're in a group talking, I look around and people just don't think about it. And all it takes is just, hey, think about this just a little bit, and it's all good. I don't even think you need patience, because when people are giving you patience, it's because they're not giving you
what you needed in the first place. You know what I mean? Which is just,
I think what I mean is in
involving
like,
you.
Yeah. So like I've started work. I've got this retail job recently, and it's I won't say where it is because I don't want to dox myself, but
it's in the description.
It's
I put it down in the description.
It's in London somewhere, and it's in London somewhere. And a lot of the customers that we get in might have an accent or might have flown in internationally from somewhere. And I really struggle with accents and stuff, so it's just like I guess patience in that sense, because I will be asking them to repeat themselves a lot. It's I was gonna say, in terms of like allyship to a deaf person, what you were saying within our friendship group, Noah's birthday, where we all went go-kart racing, and he literally, everyone was gathered round getting the instructions before we went and did it, and Noah came and grabbed me and put me at the front, like literally was like, mate, can you hear him okay? Can you lip read okay? And I was just like, that is so considerate. Like, that was a real standout moment to me, where a friend has actually been considerate in that way.
Yeah.
It's not like I expect people to make a massive deal out of it, but like what you said, just being considerate and like thinking, oh, there's a deaf person in this situation. I don't want to exclude them.
Well,
yeah.
No, I get it. It's the bare minimum, though. And again, to bring it back to the glasses thing, this is not me being like, oh yeah, wearing glasses is the same as being blind or being deaf. That's not my point. My point is that it literally would be, were it not for all of the infrastructure and, you know, the social sort of accessibility that we've got to the sort of like aids that you need to, you know, sort of engage with the world when you have a myopia or something.
There's also lots of positive social connotations to wearing glasses.
Yeah.
Like, and there someone once asked me about this. I don't know if you get this. Like, sometimes people will just ask me things and expect me to know the answer because we do a science podcast.
Literally all the time.
They asked me, like, why are glasses seen as sexy? So I went away and did some research. And like, apparently it's like in part because there's some correlation between a gene that causes poor eyesight and intelligence level. Whether that's true, I don't know. Imagine if it was like, oh, you're wearing hearing aids. You must have fantastic fashion sense.
I absolutely do.
I mean, if we're looking at Elliot, honestly, yeah. I don't want to curtail this conversation, but I'm going to have to get into the science.
Let's get into the science.
The last thing I'll say is, again, look, glasses are a thing that are ubiquitous across sort of society, right? We all like know someone that wears glasses. In fact, we don't even think about people that we know that wear glasses because we don't even think about it, right? And with a lot of different aids for disability or a lot of different disabilities, we could just have that view, that sort of outlook and that mode of dealing with them, and yet we don't, right? And when I'm saying, like, all it takes is that little bit of consideration. Like, if I'm not wearing my glasses and someone knows that, like, if I've just woken up and I'm like, oh, I have my glasses on, or I'm like, hey, can you point out where they are? Because I don't remember where I left them. Like, it's just being, oh, there they are. Or let me show you this on your phone, and like holding it up to my face so I can see it. It's like little things like that that aren't even like things. It's just bearing in mind who you're interacting with, right? Like, that's all it takes.
By the way, I was going to say, you look so smart.
Oh, thank you.
In an intelligent way, not in a formal way.
I put on my glasses whilst Corey was talking about glasses.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
He's ringing again. Why is he ringing this time, Corey?
He's ringing for After Dark Loop.
Why have we gendered our ad bell, Corey?
Because he's a boy and I want to respect him, just like I respect After Dark, our sister show to this podcast, Sci Guys. After Dark is what happens after Sci Guys ends. We just chat about whatever we want to chat about.
If you've ever been listening to Sci Guys and gone, God, I wish there were less facts, then you can listen to After Dark. I wish there were more opinions in this show.
More philosophy and politics.
Yes, After Dark is the show where Corey and I sit down, and maybe with a guest sometimes, sit down and discuss just more sort of floaty, woo-woo-y ideas about things we think with our brains.
And where can they watch this wonderful, wonderful show, Luke?
Well, they can listen to it and watch it at patreon.com/sci. Hi guys, our Patreon, where you can also support us and help us keep doing this thing that you apparently like us doing.
Did you say patreon.com/sci guys?
Yes, I think I did. I think I did say patreon.com/sci guys.
Well, if you want to listen to After Dark, it seems like you should get to patreon.com/sci guys.
That's patreon.com/sci guys, in case you weren't paying attention.
Now pay attention, because we're about to start the show.
Oh, my attention has been paid and will continue to be paid until the end, when I go home.
let's get into the science. So
I'm excited for the science.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I
love the science. This is great.
So let's just quickly run through deafness again and the causes. And I'm just going to fire through those because there's some other stuff I want to talk about. We definitely need to get to. So over 5% of the world's population require rehabilitation to address their disabling hearing loss, according to the World Health Organization. Again, this kind of shows you how sort of the medical community treats deafness very much as a problem to be fixed, which I understand the pushback from the deaf community on that, because there seems to be a very interesting divide that we can get into later where it comes to, you know, sort of whether basically how people view deafness, because some people definitely view deafness as a disability and they're like, well, I don't want my kids to be deaf. And then there's other people in the deaf community that are like, deafness is fine. I want my kids to be a part of this culture. I want them to be deaf. And both of those views are entirely valid. And it's such a complex kind of conversation to have. So let's just rush through this. So
yeah, of course.
Disabling hearing loss refers to hearing loss greater than 38 decibels in the better hearing ear. Essentially, there's a certain level beyond which if you can't hear like this amount, we will say that is disabling. That's disabling hearing loss. Disabling, obviously, in quotes there. And hearing loss, the prevalence of it increases with age. Among those older than 60 years, over 25% are affected by disabling hearing loss. And it's interesting as well, because there's a difference here between, I think, hearing loss and deafness. So we kind of covered a little bit of hearing loss. Hard of hearing, which you might have seen, HOH, that refers to people that have got hearing loss ranging from mild to severe. And if you're hard of hearing, usually people communicate through spoken language rather than through sign. But according to the World Health Organization, according to NHS, they can also benefit from hearing aids, cochlear implants, and other assistive devices, as well as captioning. And deaf people mostly have profound hearing loss, which means generally very, very little or no hearing, and usually, or not usually, often can use sign languages for communication. But then that doesn't apply to all deaf people, because some deaf people lip read, some deaf people use spoken language, and some deaf people have, you know, it's a spectrum, all of that
it's
stuff. People are individuals.
I was just going to say, you have two ears. So yeah. so one exactly. ear could be completely profound, like
yeah.
completely deaf. The other ear could work perfectly fine.
And we use the word deaf to refer to everyone. That's useful and helpful.
Do we? Because in your definition, you said like negative 30 something decibels in the better hearing ear. Does
yeah.
that not mean the other ear is then going to be more deaf than that better hearing ear?
Yeah, so you judge it by the better hearing ear, yeah. But my point is that still, you know, the level of, you would still use, if someone is sort of got hearing loss in one ear and is sort of, say, profoundly deaf in the other ear, you would still probably say they're deaf generally, right? I'm just saying, socially speaking, if anyone's got like a decent degree of, you know, hearing loss or is profoundly deaf in any sort of way, you know, you just call them deaf generally. Right? Someone can't, okay, to put it very bluntly, if someone can't hear good, you usually say that they're deaf. That's kind of what I'm touching on, right? That we've got this sort of one phrase that we tend to use for people that don't hear so good.
Yes.
Right? So let's just talk briefly about causes of deafness. I'm going to go through these in sort of your lifetime, I guess. So
yeah, sure.
You know, sort of chronologically. So the prenatal period before you're born, those would generally be genetic factors. So there's hereditary and non-hereditary hearing loss. So you could also have infections in sort of like intrauterine infections. So infections could cause hearing loss, you know, before a child is born. And again, I'm saying hearing loss, there's not really a quick and easy way of describing that. I know it sucks, but we move. Okay, we're gonna have to get through this. The perinatal period, so that's around birth, you know, the time surrounding birth. So that's birth asphyxia. So if you don't get enough oxygen during birth, if you've got severe jaundice when you're a newborn, if you've got a low birth weight or other sort of perinatal morbidities, and how you sort of manage those. So essentially, any sort of like serious problems can cause deafness around the time when a sort of child is born. And in childhood and adolescence, chronic ear infections can cause hearing loss, fluid in the ear. So there's different types of deafness as well. We'll get into those in a second. But fluid in the ear can cause hearing loss, meningitis. When you're older, chronic diseases, smoking, autosclerosis, age-related sensorineural degeneration, and sudden sensorineural hearing loss. So essentially, like as you get older, it tends to be more a case of damage and serious diseases than when you're younger. It could just be
more infections and that sort of stuff. And then throughout your life, I mean, trauma to the ear, head, loud noises and loud sounds, you know, certain sort of medicines and chemicals.
Going to a no offense gig.
Going to a no offense gig. No, I don't say that. Connor cares about your ears. Connor's the sound guy. infections, nutritional deficiencies, all of that sort of stuff, right? But let's talk about the types of hearing loss, because I think this is kind of interesting. We don't usually sort of think about these. You've got conductive hearing loss, and that's caused by something that stops sound from getting through to the outer or middle ear. Remember, we spoke about those. So like if it's in sort of like the outside of your ear, that sort of like tube that goes in, or the bones there, that would be your sort of outer and middle ear. If something is stopping the sound from passing through there, that would be conductive hearing loss. And usually that can be treated with surgery or medicine. If you've got fluid filling your ear or wax filling your ear, you would have conductive hearing loss, right? And then you've got sensorineural hearing loss.
I find that word so funny.
It's tough,
it's a tough word. Is it like sensory neural, sensoro?
It's sensor, S-E-N-S-O-R-I, and then neural. Sensorineural.
Sensorineural.
It's hard to say.
Sensorineural.
Yeah. So that's when there's a problem in the way that the inner ear or the hearing nerve works. So your auditory nerve, if there's a problem with that, that would be sensorineural. Makes sense, you know, like sort of the neural sensory sort of part of your body. Mixed hearing loss is obviously a mix of conductive and sensorineural hearing loss. And then there's auditory neuropathy spectrum disorder. And that occurs when sound enters the ear normally, but because of damage to the inner ear or the hearing nerve, the sound isn't sort of, it's, the brain can't really figure out what's going on with the sound, right? So, you know, the sound is coming in all right and the sort of signal's being made all right, but the brain can't necessarily make sense of the signal.
Decipher it almost, or make like,
yeah, so it's so
actually get the information.
So it's what I've got here is that it's not organized in a way that the brain can understand, right? So it's the signal isn't, it's not being, I guess, deciphered. It's not decipherable by the brain.
Because I feel like when I am listening to things, I'm also having to like piece together all of those sounds in my brain, like as a deaf person as well. Like it's not just when you're communicating with someone, 30% of it is lip reading, right? 30% of it is me reading your lips, and then the other percentages of it will be like, I don't know, your facial expressions, your gestures, what sound am I actually hearing, and like trying to, like the tone of voice, it all of that comes into making a sentence. Like understanding.
So that's interesting. So would you say that you, when you are hearing someone say a sentence, are you more sort of like you're getting the meaning as opposed to hearing every single part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like the context is like, yeah, just whenever I'm having a conversation with someone, it's like I am listening, but I'm also having to like piece together all of this information to make the full picture. And like to fully understand what is going on.
You know, I think hearing people do that more often than they think as well. Obviously, you can fall back and rely on your hearing. But if someone's got an accent that you're not quite familiar with, you're looking at it's easier when you're looking at their face, right?
Yeah.
And if you've got like issues with processing audio sometimes, so like sometimes if I'm at a party or if I'm focusing on the wrong thing, sounds just, someone talking just won't, it won't be words.
Yeah.
And I've got to then back figure out, okay, from the context and from what I saw, what did they say?
Yeah, I think people don't necessarily, especially people who don't have any like non-normative like differences with their sensory perception, don't necessarily realize that when you're perceiving anything, when you're perceiving audio or video or whatever you're perceiving your brain's best guess as to what's going on.
Yes.
You're not actually perceiving what's going on. You're perceiving a sort of best guess hallucination of what's going on, which is why, you know, I sometimes look at a jumper and I think it's my cat.
Yeah.
Or I hear someone say a different word and I think it's my name. Mm-hmm. But I heard that. My brain told me my name was said and I saw my cat there, but there's just a jumper there.
It's like the Yanny Laurel thing, right?
Yeah.
So the Yanny Laurel thing is there's this one audio recording that can sound like it's saying Yanny or it's saying Laurel.
Yeah.
And you can kind of shift which one you're hearing by reading the word. And This is kind of what I really want to point out is that I'm not saying that, you know, us having to figure out things when we don't quite hear them properly is exactly the same as being deaf. But my point is that everyone kind of does this to some degree. It's just that like
if you're deaf, you've got less information coming in, and so you've really got to rely on the stuff that we just kind of use as like little helpers, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those things that are maybe like little hints
nudges.
As to are actually like quite big indicators for deaf people, I would say. Phoenix's mum, Sophie, explained it really well to me as well. Mm-hmm. Like just the idea of having to decipher everything, like. It's like you've got all of this information and then you have to piece it together.
Seems exhausting.
It is exhausting. Deaf people will often take hearing breaks or deaf breaks, whatever you want to call it.
You know, I think this is really going to be beneficial for people listening that that aren't deaf. Corey, think about what you're saying.
earlier you said definitely, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was like, deaf.
every single time. Look, if you're watching or listening, Elliot and I are friends, and often we will make some very risque deaf jokes with each other.
Oh, absolutely.
All in good fun, only at Elliot's expense.
I mean, Elliot literally started, we were about to hit record, and he goes, I want to keep a tally of how many deaf jokes you can sneak into the episode. And Connor was like, no, you can do that if you want. I will not be doing that.
I will be nice this time.
For once, only when I'm on camera.
He's only nice when he's being perceived.
Yeah. Well, only nice when I'm being recorded. That's the key there. No, so I think this will be really helpful, though, for people that are listening that maybe don't have any deaf friends or family members or anyone in their life, because I think that's something that we don't really tend to think about. Like, I think there's sometimes a perception of deaf people as being like angry at stuff for seemingly no reason. And it's like, well, hold on. Just imagine you were living in a world where you were able to interact with, you know, other people perfectly fine. But the majority of people refused to interact with you in a way that was, you know, natural to you, and they instead insisted that you do this very, very tiring thing all the time and don't complain about it, and also make them feel good about it too. That's like, I wouldn't be able to deal with that. I'd be pretty wound up all the time if that were me, to be honest. can't really be bothered with it. And you know, like, if you think about that, there you go. That's why deaf people are annoyed at you sometimes, right? That's why.
Yeah, and there's something in the deaf community called dinner table syndrome, and that is, you know, where you're sat at the dinner table and as a deaf person, you can't be interacting as well as everyone else can, or like especially just in group settings in general. I agree. I think for like anyone that is listening, like, just we're talking about some really good points to consider.
Mm-hmm. So consider them. Just consider them. No, so let's move on. We've spoken a little bit about sort of the different types of deafness. I was going to talk about how hearing aids work, but look, put it this way: there's a microphone, an amplifier, and a speaker.
Literally.
They just chuck the sound right into the part of your ear and make it super bloody loud. That is how they work.
It literally is. If you have a microphone, there's your input, and then you've got your output, which is your amplifier. Now imagine that on like a really, really tiny, small scale. And also, that's why, you know, when you get feedback on a microphone, that's why the hearing aids would also do that.
Oh, no, I know. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Whenever you go to hug Elliot, every now and then, you'll just hear the feedback. And I'm like...
No, it was so sweet. When we were all... Like, people were able to see each other after the pandemic again, I remember being able to give my friends hugs for the first time and people being like, oh, my gosh, there's the Elliot sound. And I was like, that's so sweet, actually, that you associate the feedback with giving me a hug.
It's cute. It's nice.
Like a little happy squeak.
Yeah.
It is. No, so... That's roughly how hearing aids work. Cochlear implants are a kind of hearing aid that get sort of implanted in your head. We can do a whole episode on hearing aids and hearing implants and all of that sort of stuff at some point. But I really want to move on to sort of the importance of inclusion here, because there was a study that was done, and I read an article sort of about it, and I read around it. That found that the percentage of undergraduate and postgraduate STEM students who were deaf or had a serious hearing impairment stayed at just 0.3% between 2007 and 8 and 2018 and 19 in the UK. And in the UK, 1.3% of the population are severely or profoundly deaf. So 1.3% of the population is deaf, let's say, and 0.3% of uni students between 2007 and 2018 were deaf. That is a massive disparity, right? You would expect to see roughly 1.3%. If not, what barriers are there for deaf people? There are obviously a lot of barriers in place, you know, at sort of going to university and studying STEM for deaf people. And, you know, there is something you might not think about. So obviously, not having sort of interpreters is one thing. That is an issue.
That's a big one. The amount of deaf friends that will be like, well, I turned up to this shoot or this thing or whatever, and there wasn't an interpreter there, so therefore I couldn't participate.
Yeah.
It will literally cut off that participation for them. They can't.
Exactly. But that's just one part as well, right? Like, and this is that's the sort of not the most obvious one, but that's probably the one that your mind would jump to immediately. But another part of that as well is that, think about sort of BSL, think about sign language, think about how it works, right? Do you think there are going to be signs, like simple signs, for the complex words that are used in science?
No.
There weren't.
I wouldn't be surprised if it had to be fingerspelled or like shortened in some way.
Exactly. And fingerspelling is, so, I mean, if you want to explain, go ahead, what fingerspelling is.
Oh, fingerspelling is just where you take the BSL alphabet, so like A, B, C, D, all of your five vowels are on your fingers here because you've got five fingers. It makes sense, A, E, I, O, U. Anyway, when you're fingerspelling, that is literally just spelling out the word using BSL. But that takes a lot longer than if this is a sign for like work, right? So I could do work or I could go W, O, R, K. But that takes so much longer.
Exactly. So for anyone listening, when Elliot sort of signed work, it's kind of like taking your two hands, making them flat, and hitting them together in a sort of cross. If you're not sure what's going on, Google it or go watch on the YouTube video. I'm sorry, we can't describe BSL to you.
Imagine, imagine we're translating things into BSL and then translating them back into spoken English.
We're translating into spoken English by describing
it. It's an audio description of the BSL.
And it's like the worst version of Google Translate, right? Imagine translating that back and forth, right? That'd be a fun game, though, if you were to get... Oh my gosh, so if you were to get some signing deaf people and then hearing people that don't sign at all and have the hearing people describe the signs to some deaf people that sign... And see what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
That'd be a really fun thing to do. That'd we should try and figure that out.
Such a fun version of like Chinese whispers.
Right? Yeah.
Like how many layers of English to BSL to English to BSL to English.
Before it becomes nonsense.
Yeah.
Chinese whispers was one of those games that I could never play as a kid.
Oh my God.
No.
I couldn't ever play it. And like I would try and lip read it. Mm-hmm. But then at some point you're just, I mean like, lip reading is only going to do so much. But yeah, no, I could never play Chinese whispers.
Going to be honest, Elliot? You could just make it up and you're basically playing Chinese whispers anyway. We'll play it after this. Don't you worry. So, no, my point here is, yes, fingerspelling takes a long time. And if you're in a lecture and someone's got to fingerspell something, and not only have you got to wait for them to finish spelling it, you've also got to be spelling out the word in your head. Imagine if, you know, I was giving a lecture, I was doing a Sci Guys episode, and instead of saying mitochondria, you know, I said, and you know, if we're talking about the powerhouse of the cell, it's the mitochondria, right? You'd be like, okay, and by that point, I've already started talking it. Like, the lecturer is not waiting for the interpreter, if you're lucky enough to have an interpreter. And, you know, there are so many factors here, right? And what we need to remember is that none of this reflects on deaf people. Deaf people are not underrepresented because they're stupid, which is something that people think of deaf people.
Oh my gosh, yeah. No, it's true.
You can speak about your own experience here, but I think that honestly, people think of deaf people as being stupid because the way that we sort of measure intelligence in others often is in their ability to converse, right? Mm. And so if you've got any kind of disability or anything whatsoever that impacts your way to converse with other people, people will automatically see you as less intelligent, right?
And if you're deaf, your pronunciation or like your diction or like whatever, like the way you speak might just be different because that's how you hear sounds.
Exactly.
But I do completely agree with you. I think my parents had that worry about social stigmas when I was growing up around my deafness. I don't think anyone ever automatically assumed I was stupid, but
you don't even need people to assume that you're stupid. It's just the little sort of subconscious ways that people interact, and again these are things that we need to be conscious of, all of us really. And I want to talk a little bit more about this, so you know, I've got this article here, you can go read it down in the description, but you know, people can wait months for the sort of
accessibility sort of assistance that they need, you might not be able to have an interpreter in every lecture or a specialist note taker. And there is no reason for this, by the way. The universities are taking enough bloody money that they can pay an interpreter. They should be able to pay an interpreter to be in any of the Easy. Classes that they want. I'm sorry. Why don't you just cut down one little bit of spending on something so you've got an interpreter in whatever class you need? Because, like, realistically, it's 1.3% of students, right? Mm. That's enough to get a set of interpreters,
Easily.
Right? You know, on top of that, on top of the not being able to actually have interpreters, on top of the signing, there's just the stigma against, you know, being deaf, and that will obviously affect people. But what I wanted to sort of bring it back to, or sort of steer towards, is this more sort of positive story, because we spoke about how, you know, if you're in a lecture, and even if you've got an interpreter sort of signing, you will still have to sort of fingerspell things out. And so what a lot of people have done is, or some people have done, is created a whole bunch of new signs for this. And I wanted to do this this as an episode of Sci Guys years ago, back when we started, because there's a guy named Liam McMulkin, and he was an undergrad at the University of Dundee, which is where I'm from. He actually studied with one of my friends, and he created a whole bunch of new signs because he was like, I think the issue was he was having to, you know, have his interpreter fingerspell stuff out, and he's like, let's just make these signs for these words. And again, it's this sort of thing of like, imagine not having a word for something. Do you know what I mean? Like, having a concept that you can spell out, but not having, like, a word for it. Mm. That's, I guess, somewhat comparable to not having a sign for it, right?
Literally, yeah.
And, like, you know, if you then have a sign, you're then able to, personally sort of understand the concept more because you've got a thing to apply it to. So he created, he developed over 100 new signs, and those were accepted into BSL. So this one undergrad dude, he just went ahead and he was like, okay, this isn't working for me, let's make this work. And it was sort of accepted into the actual language.
That's really cool.
It's brilliant, right?
Go on, Liam. Was exactly. his name Liam?
His name is Liam.
Go on, Liam.
I've got a quote from here as well. He said, I feel really happy because I know from my own experience how difficult it is to learn during lectures. Now the new signs have spread, I feel it will be better for future students. He went on to study for a master's degree in regenerative medicine research at the University of Dundee, and the University of Dundee is really good for certain things. Apparently they've got a comprehensive plan to ensure that they are inclusive and supportive of British Sign Language users. That's just in the UK, but in America, for ASL, they've also made a bunch of new signs. So I tried to learn the sign for DNA in ASL, which I'm gonna suck at this, right? But they created a whole bunch of new ones, but it's really great. So, like, I think it's something along the lines of, hold on, yeah, it's like,
I will
this.
I will audio describe.
So
Corey places two peace signs sort of next to each other like they're scissoring.
And then pulls them away from each other and twists at the same time.
And
so you go to scissor and then pull them away and then twist.
Yeah, so you twist them, you sort of rotate them 90 degrees. So if you're listening, let me just explain this to you. And if you're watching, you can watch and listen at the same time. So what I've got here is I've got two sort of peace signs, and they are, I guess, sort of perpendicular to one another and sort of intersecting like they're about to scissor, right? And then what I do is I pull them away and rotate them each 90 degrees. And that's supposed to sort of represent the DNA double helix.
Oh, yeah.
And so
gosh.
It means DNA.
Now that makes so much sense.
And so obviously with ASL, it's the idea is that you can fingerspell with one hand.
Mm.
So instead of having to, you know, do with one hand, like, you know, DNA or whatever, boom, that. Just one quick sign and you've got the sign for DNA. And this is what I love about sign languages, is that I feel like they work in a way that my brain likes to work, which is very visually
it's
with
very
a concept.
Visual. I'm not going to lie, I learned the sign for abortion the other day,
yeah?
And it's literally...
Oh, gosh.
Could you
describe that for the
Oh,
audio?
Sorry. The sign for abortion is literally you get your hand as if it's going to grab something, and then it grabs where sort of your lower abdomen is. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah,
where
your womb it would
yeah.
be, yeah.
And then you grab it, and then you kind of pull a face of disgust, and you
what?
Throw it. Yeah,
you
it's
need
kind
the
of
face of disgust.
A face of disgust.
That's
your
so great.
It's sort of like...
Oh, that's great. Oh, because
do,
yeah, because
do.
Faces are, oh,
yeah,
are important for yeah.
So when you're doing sign language, so the sign for job and work is the same. You know, it's this,
yeah.
which is the sign we described
like
earlier.
Crossing over your
yeah,
hand.
The crossing over. Job and work are the same, but your lip reading is the mouthing the word is important in terms of like the context.
It's so interesting. Like, I really do want to learn BSL, but you
same.
Know, it's, I just my thing is I need to find a good course, because I want, if I'm going to learn it, I want to learn it. And also you need to find a course that is basically approved by the deaf community, because what a lot of people do is they will teach BSL without being sort of deaf themselves or having sort of sanctioned from the deaf community. And it's just, I'm not saying that it's impossible and I'm not doing it, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying I want to do it right.
And it's kind of better kind of coming from a deaf person or a native speaker, yeah, or no, someone who's very much involved in the community. Because here's the thing, different sign languages, even within British sign language, there's different dialects regional signs. And it's so interesting.
Well, this is the thing. We were talking about this last week in the episode on linguistics. And yeah, you say this and we're like, oh, that's so cool. But yes, like obviously this language has dialects and slang. And, you know, if you learn it from one person, it's going to be slightly different to how someone, because it's a language. And the reason that this is so sort of shocking and like exciting to us is because we genuinely do not value BSL as a language on par with, you know, spoken language.
No, it really isn't seen on the same level. Even like, within the government, BSL is not fully recognized as a language in itself. And it really should be. And I think, I mean, I remember doing tiny bits of BSL at school, but actually if they really implemented it more,
yeah.
I find BSL so helpful when I'm in loud situations. You know, if you're clubbing with your friends and you're like, toilet now, drunk exactly,
man, yeah.
Exactly. Like, just, it's a great way to be able to communicate without actually having to say anything, like, or be able to hear even, like...
So- I was hanging out with a sort of deaf friend the other day who has a child. And so they sign, their child is hearing and their partner is hearing, but they obviously are teaching BSL to the baby. And the baby also knows baby sign language. So they're using BSL and baby sign.
Called BSL.
Yeah, right. It's wild, right? Yeah. but it's so interesting because you see this little kid, you know, this tiny little baby doing little signs like... And sometimes they're meaning B and sometimes they're meaning like, you know, something else. And it's so interesting to watch a little baby that can't speak communicate through sign. And why aren't we doing this? Why are, like, I genuinely understand. I genuinely want to teach my kids sign language, BSL, not because, oh, let's make them woke and helping out deaf. No, like, honestly, I would, like, forgetting deaf people for a moment, right?
Yeah.
Like, forget deaf people for a moment. Like, I think it is just beneficial to teach your kids BSL because we should all have multiple modes of community. And that's not to take BSL away from the deaf community. Like, absolutely. Like, I understand that completely.
It's so useful. But, like, as a language, it is so useful.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's beneficial for literally everyone. Like, you wouldn't, that, like, the deaf community can still have their sort of, you know, sort of their own sort of culture and community and whatnot, and on top of that, like, you still have, like, you then able to interact, you don't have that barrier between you and a deaf friend because what, you don't speak the language.
Someone who is deaf, I feel like I have a barrier within my own community. Like, I can't talk to people who are deaf just like I am, who only sign.
Yeah,
like, I cannot talk to them, and I wish I didn't have that barrier for sure. It just makes everyone's lives easier, I think.
absolutely. And you know what, look, I mean, if someone in the deaf community is going to say we don't want hearing people learning BSL as a rule, that's our thing, you know, I totally understand that. I understand where you're coming from,
but I almost see, like, why would they have that problem in a sense, because if everyone who knew how to sign a few signs, retail experiences like going shopping or something would become a lot easier.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. I just want to point out the viewpoint of sort of basically not wanting necessarily hearing people to stamp all over and remove deaf culture. I mean, to be honest, look, there was one more point I had in here, and it could honestly be an entire episode on its own. We won't even get into it. Do you know, we'll hint at it for maybe a future episode with you. So I was going to talk a little bit about CRISPR gene editing and how people consider sort of curing deafness or stopping kids from being deaf. And like, there's a whole can of worms. We've had so much conversation that we literally do not have time for it today.
Yeah.
But if you really like this episode and you want to see Elliot back again, head down to the comments, leave a little comment, let us know that you want to see Elliot again. We might do a future episode with Elliot if Elliot enjoyed this.
I'm joking.
Wow. Well, with that, why don't we move on to the quick fire quiz?
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm not sure about this. Yeah, sure.
Definition.
So the rules for the quickfire quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after I finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
Elliot's hearing aids.
I really hope you win, Elliot.
Me too. Me too. Me too.
Goodbye, hearing.
I just have to learn sign language now.
That's what, it's incentive. That's what it is.
Exactly.
So, Luke, what is your buzzer?
It's Elliot's, like, it's the noise you make when people hug you.
Sounds just like hugging Elliot. Elliot, what's your buzzer?
What?
Yours is a lot easier to make than mine.
Fantastic. So here we go. This is the question for the quickfire quiz. The question is, can you answer this question in BSL?
What?
Oh, what?
Luke, you got there first, but you need to answer this correctly.
No,
Elliot, come in for the steal.
Yes.
Exactly the correct answer. If anyone is listening, the sign that Elliot did is the one for yes, which you make a fist and you make it nod its little fisty head.
It's like nodding. Yes. It's like if you were nodding your head, but just imagine your fist is your head and you just hold it up and then it nods. Also, if you want to say no, you know when you do when you shake your head and that means no, you do the same with your fist.
And that is it for us. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to executive producers Danito and Glitch Rabbit. And thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCore everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCutForth everywhere.
And at Evolution of Elliot everywhere.
Goodbye. You gotta say something.
Goodbye.
People are listening. People are listening. Say goodbye.
You just waved. You waved and said nothing.